Hello and welcome to More Than the Hemline. My name is Danielle Immerman. I am CMO here at The Reflective, and I am joined here today by none other than our founder and CEO, Liza Sakai. Before we get into it, please, please, please take just a few seconds to go and give us a review on the podcast player of your choice. Why should you do this, you ask? Because the only way we can make modesty mainstream is by moving on up in the charts to amplify our message with you and our community. So please, if you could just take a few seconds and leave us a quick review, we would be so, so grateful. Anywho, now we shall begin. Liza, we are here to discuss a very important topic, one which we have personally discussed individually several times. I feel like it's very near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is intentional shopping. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Intentional shopping, where do we begin? Where do we begin? It's a hot topic. I feel like it's been a hot topic for a while. It doesn't necessarily have that name. It more so is the name hashtag sustainability, hashtag eco-conscious shopping, eco-friendly shopping, environmentally friendly purchases. And additionally, I think we can kind of broaden that to call it something that kind of is in line with modesty, which is intentionality, intentional shopping, intentional dressing.
Right.
So, first off, let's hear your thoughts.
It brings so much to mind. So, we're definitely going to need to break down the topic in a few different directions, because I feel like some people are listening to this and they automatically think like sustainable shopping, like going to brands that are green brands that are very transparent about their manufacturing processes, that are using sustainable materials, that are resale brands. And obviously that's a huge, huge part of the conversation. But that's not even like half the conversation in my opinion. And that's definitely not where my area of expertise lies. So I'm going to put that side of intentional shopping to rest for this specific podcast. But it is 50% of this conversation, and we definitely will have a guest on here to cover the sustainability aspect. But what comes to mind for me when you say intentional in general is just like thoughtfulness about the way that I'm consuming, not even just with clothing, but with everything that I'm consuming on a day-to-day and purchasing. I feel like there are phases in life where I'm whipping out my credit card or my Apple Pay like at least 10 times a day, for my coffee and then for the Subway, and like it just adds up. So there's a level of thoughtfulness that I'm trying to learn to develop on a day-to-day basis. And I feel like because clothes are, you know, my favorite area, that's been like the easiest area for me to practice this. But I really want to start just on the topic of like, not even in my personal life, but where this lies within the reflective and our curating process, and the internal battle that I'm facing at all times when it comes to curating. Because I totally understand the fast fashion conversation. I am subject to fast fashion. I wear a ton of Mango. Really, that's my personal favorite and something I'm working on consuming a little bit less of. But when it comes to curating, I'm always tempted to put in pieces that I feel like are staple pieces that are going to build people's closets in the long term, that are high quality, that can be worn in multiple ways. And then on the other side of the DMs, we receive a lot of messaging. This is not a call out towards any individual. I'm saying this because we receive it all the time for products that are closer to, you know, a dress for $20 to $30. And as much as like I understand budget and I understand that that comes into the conversation, I have a theory, and it's, you know, maybe not everyone agrees with it, but that when you purchase products like that, those products don't last you very long because of the quality of the material and the fact that they're typically poorly made or not made, you know, to the standards and cut to the standards of a bit of a higher end piece. And so you tend to purchase those constantly rather than building your closet slowly into a closet that can sustain you for a very long time. So that's where I want to start the conversation. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, Danielle, because I don't really know what your shopping process looks like, and how you even feel when you're on the Reflective website. But like on how we can train our minds to think longer term about clothing and less about just like short term gratification.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting topic, especially around now, because people are starting to make a lot of purchases for spring slash summer. They're starting to refresh their wardrobes. It's a timely conversation. All this is to say, people are spending money now. So people are making decisions now. And I think myself included, I had to make a lot of decisions on what to purchase for Passover. For all of these spring holidays. And I think part of the conversation can be like, okay, people want quantity. I think a lot of people want quantity. And because of quantity, sometimes you have to sacrifice quality. If you can afford to have quality pieces in a large quantity, then that's amazing. But I think part of this consumer culture that we are in is driven by this need to have more, to have options, to have a different outfit every day. When I'm looking to make all of my, spring holiday purchases for Passover, I want a new dress every day and night. Like I want to feel special, but I also am on a startup budget. I can't afford to have all of these beautiful $400 to $500 dresses that I'm eyeing. So a part of my decision as a consumer is like, okay, where can I cut some corners? And for me, that means either, okay, opting for the $150 dresses that I see and like, and knowing that maybe that's not going to last me for a few years. It's probably going to carry me into like, next year, possibly the year after, but it's not a piece that I'm going to hold forever. I think it's a decision you have to make. Like, what kind of wardrobe do you want to have? Do you have one that you recycle every year, or do you want to have one that lasts? And I don't know, it's just such a hard decision because I think at the same time, people do want new pieces all the time. And where do you even begin to make those? How do you even begin to cultivate that longer term thinking that you touched on?
Right. So I think part of the conversation that I missed that's important to this is not only the fact that we all want new pieces because for some reason it makes us feel more beautiful, and for some reason there's this weird expectation that wearing the same thing 2 times in a month is off, but also the fact that these fast fashion brands give you access to very current trends so that you can always be on trend in the now. Even if that gingham print that you're obsessed with today is going to be totally irrelevant, not even by the next year, but by the next season. So there's two thoughts that we're trying to like retrain in this process. The first is that need to always have something new, and the second is that need to be like everybody else. So first things that you have to let go of are those two aspects of shopping. And if those are habits for you, those need to be broken before we can go into the practical and tactical tips behind how to develop a longer lasting wardrobe. So, just setting that as the premise, if you have anything to add there before I dive into a lot of technical thoughts and questions that I ask myself? Okay. You're shaking your head.
I'm so excited for this.
Okay, so there's a few different tactics that I use that I feel like allow me to make smarter decisions about what I'm buying. And I'll walk through three of them now that I find to be super, super helpful. The first one is building out a base wardrobe. So, by a base wardrobe, I mean like what are your 10 staple essentials, probably per like 2 seasons. So, like a fall, winter, and a spring, summer essentials category that you live by. Meaning that you're pulling one of those pieces into every single outfit that you're wearing. So for me, in the spring summer, that's like a cropped linen or like oversized linen button down. That's a jean jacket. That's a denim skirt. That's like for me, like an elbow length white baggy t-shirt, probably the same in black, a leather jacket. Like those are the things that I, weird that I wear leather jackets in the summer, don't comment, but probably like a light leather jacket that I'm wearing all spring summer. And then when it comes to winter, it's like, what are those staple tights that I'm buying? And thinking even more like thoughtfully about that. Like, I don't know if you guys know the brand SheerTex, but love them because I don't have to buy 30 tights a season because they're ripping once a week. Like, I only buy these three pairs of tights that last me not just all season, but like year over year, they never rip. So even being thoughtful within those purchases about what brands I'm choosing to buy from. And then, yeah, so for winter, like what pair of boots is it going to be? Like what two sweaters do I know am I going to be able to tie back to every print and fabric of skirt? Like what are those core pieces? And for me, I choose to invest in those pieces more so than I choose to invest in anything else. So, you know, what I might not spend on a dress, you're right, for the spring holidays that I just want to wear to feel pretty that one time, I would spend on a linen shirt. And some people think it's crazy because you could get that same linen shirt from Mango and Zara, but the fit, I think, doesn't even hold a candle to, you know, maybe an Anine Bing or some of the other more basic brands that I, you know, typically pull into my wardrobe. So definitely, like, from a fit perspective and from a quality perspective, it doesn't align. So if these are the pieces that I know my wardrobe is built on, these are the pieces that, like, I'm going to invest the most in so that I'm not buying them every 2 years and they're lasting me. I know it sounds crazy, but I still have things from 10 years ago. I also haven't grown since then, which doesn't make sense because I'm 5'10", but those are the things that I've had in my closet consistently, either from before I was modest or once I built out a modest specific wardrobe since I started dressing modestly. So maybe, Danielle, it'd be helpful also if you could give examples of like what those are for you, because we have really different senses of style.
Yeah, I would love to do a rapid fire what to invest in, what not to invest in. Maybe we'll do that right now.
Let's go for it.
Okay. Boots, you say to invest in. I agree.
For sure. Yeah. I didn't buy one new pair of boots this season.
Yeah, me neither. And when I do wear boots, like, I have them for years, and they look brand new. Brand new. I think it's essential. Black boots for sure to invest in. I think white boots you can invest in too. White boots, I feel like, you could probably get away with not investing in them.
You can get away with it, but they were a trend that held. Like, just like, yeah, boots, I feel like you have to read the trend when it's coming out and know if it's going to dissipate in less than a year. But like loafers and white boots, those trends, especially like shoe trends, I feel like last for a pretty long time.
Yeah. Loafers, invest, not invest.
It depends if it's a core part of your style. Like, I didn't even buy a pair because I didn't want to invest in them and I didn't want to get something cheap that I was going to throw out the next year. But yeah. I know people wear loafers all day, every day, and some of them have gone as far as to, like, invest in, you know, a pair of Pradas. And at first I was in shock, but for them, it's a core piece that makes every outfit for them feel sophisticated and cool. So for those people, take the plunge.
Right. I remember when I saw those pairs, I was like, I need them now. Like, they're so cool. But then I thought, I was like, I just don't like loafers objectively. Like, I never wear the ones I already have. So you have to really know yourself. Totally feel that. Okay, ballet flats.
Again, like, for me, definite no. For somebody else, a yes. Ugh, but this brings into another point of the conversation. I just bought a pair of ballet flats that, like, I invested a pretty solid amount in. They were $250, which for me is a good amount to spend on any pair of shoes, especially a flat. But I will detail, you found these for me, so you know what I'm talking about.
They're so cool.
Ballet flats with like a chain strap on the ankle, which made them way more my style. And it was one of those pieces, and this moves directly into my second tip. It was one of those pieces where I saw it and I immediately like felt this, I don't know how to explain it. It was like a warm, fuzzy feeling inside of like, this piece already makes me so happy and it's not even in my hands. And I could picture it with so many different outfits. Like, I'll do an exercise where I'll take that piece and first I'll think about it, like, just, I'll ask my question, the Marie Kondo question, like, does this make me happy? And if I can say yes, all right, it's passed, like, the first test. And then if I can imagine it with three different style outfits at least, like, one day and one night situation, knowing that it's going to be, like, a flexible piece for me that I'm going to be able to wear often is, like, the next notch. That I've checked off that I can be like, okay, this is a piece that for me is probably worth investing in. And then my last test is typically like, is this trendy or is this not? And I don't think it's a trendy shoe. So for me, it made sense. And once it passes those three tests, I'm like, okay, check. For Liza, that's an investment piece.
Amazing. Okay. We got shoes covered. I'm gonna at the end go back to the question of materials. If you look for certain materials when you're buying or investing in pieces, we'll save that for the end and do like a rapid fire with materials. But moving on from shoes, let's go to layering pieces, layering basics. So think like thin turtlenecks that you put under everything in the winter with a jacket. Think like, boxy tees. Would you invest in something like that, or would you go for a mango alternative?
Okay, I'm gonna get really specific with the tees. If the tee is white, I feel like those happen to get stained often, so I know I'll be rotating them out anyway. So for those, I don't typically invest, but anything in black, I will, or like gray, or any other color, I will invest in. And I'll tell you, I remember, like, this is before I, had my own wallet or allowance or anything. I was much younger, and I asked my mom for this black long sleeve turtleneck from like an expensive Italian brand, and she's like, "That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard." And I told her, "The quality of this fabric is amazing. It's never gonna rip. The fit is beautiful. Like, it doesn't make me look, for some reason, every time I put on like a long black long sleeve from Zara, I'm like, why do I look weirdly large in one area of my body?" Which is weird. So I'm like, "Okay, it's not doing that to me." And it's a staple. Like, this goes under every slip dress, over every skirt. Like, I'm gonna wear it all the time. Trust me, it's worth it. And she was convinced, which is rare. And I still have that black long sleeve, and I've bought multiple from like Mango and ASOS since. And every time I put on an outfit, even if it's like not the right weather for it, like, I'll opt for this more pricey one because the fit and the quality and the comfort and the lack of itch, like, everything is just superior. So I could have, invested in a lot of different options, which I end up doing, or I ended up doing, and I'm trying not to do anymore. But I always come back to those core pieces that I invested in. So for layering pieces, I would say for sure, they're considered essentials and you should invest.
See, for me, it's so difficult because something like a thin mock neck or turtleneck, I could not invest in because I wash it so frequently because I wear it so much. And I don't know. I guess maybe like you totally could wash nicer turtlenecks. I just, for whatever reason, have in my mind that like, because I wear it all the time and wash it all the time, I shouldn't invest. But something like a Skims top, like that's more of an investment. And I wash it just as frequently. So I don't know what my rationale is.
I know we built these like theories in our head, but Skims is such a good example of a brand that, like, I need a slip for under the see-through dress that I bought, and this happens to me all the time. So at this point, I'm like, I'm gonna get a good slip. And someone sent me one from Amazon. She's like, "It's amazing." I'm like, "Okay, it's $20. I know it's not amazing. Like, I'm gonna be unhappy with it. I'm gonna drop the 60 on this Skims one and literally never have to buy a slip again."
I have so many we could do a rapid fire with. I'm gonna, for the sake of time, speed it up and we'll just go to like what is really pressing right now, which is I think special occasion dresses and pieces. Like think holidays, think weddings, think, anything you would want a nice, cool, different dress for.
Right. Okay. So I'm gonna put aside like family occasions, or like when it's your personal birthday, wedding, etc. Like, those things, you do you. And obviously, I feel like we all choose to invest more a little bit in those moments. But when it comes to just like the day to day, especially right now, this is the craziest wedding season that's ever been approaching. Like, I'm afraid for what's about to come. And I already feel myself trying to like stockpile dresses to be able to have something different for every wedding that I'm attending. And at first, I was buying things that were like heavy prints, just like very bold of the season dresses that I knew, like, easy. Like, I put that on with whatever pair of heels, and I walk into the party, and like, I feel good, and I'm gonna get compliments, even though I spent an absurd amount, and everyone's gonna know this dress, so I can't wear it again till next year. So that's where I was going at first. And then I really tried to think about like other types of outfits that I've seen at, big occasions that I really liked. And maybe this is just a me thing. You're definitely bolder style, so you can comment on this after and tell me if you agree. But I keep seeing this very sleek look where someone will take a solid colored dress, whatever fit and cut works for them, and then really accessorize, like a bold bag or bold jewelry or bold shoes. And it's a dress that honestly they could like even, you know, they could wear it to Pesach or Passover or Easter, and then they could take that into like a wedding, you know, a couple months later, and it's versatile enough for both depending on what you accessorize it with. So once I saw that happening, and I realized how much I was drawn to that and how much I like even respected that look more because it wasn't about what the designer did for that person. It was what they did once they had the piece that made it so artistic and beautiful as an outfit, which to me as a fashion person is very, very important. So that's like the route that I've been trying to go in is buying like simpler dresses that might still be on the pricier side because I also really believe for evening wear that like cut is everything. And knowing your silhouette and all of that is a big part of it also. But pieces that I can buy, let's say three of them for all 10 weddings I have this summer, and just be a little bit more thoughtful about like how many people I have overlapping at each. So I know, you know, I'm gonna wear this dress to these three because it's totally different crowds, and accessorize them all a little bit differently. So I'm gonna take, let's say it's a black long sleeve bias cut silk dress that I'm gonna wear, you know, to one wedding. And the first wedding I'm gonna wear it with like this like diamond studded bag and like a tennis necklace, and then the next one I'm gonna wear it with a really bold colorful shoe and maybe tie it to like a matching colored bag or even create some contrast like pink shoes green bag situation. And then for the third one I'm gonna go classic all black like slick back ponytail, even thinking like to the hair, and like a much bolder earring and create contrast that way. So I've taken now a dress that first of all is not only going to be for this summer's weddings, but for every summer and every occasion that I have for the rest of my life, and I've made it feel new and special for myself and for everyone that's seeing it at every event that I've been to. Does that make sense?
Wow, that was amazing. I got my wheels turning. I was like, wow, you could do so much with accessories, girl. I'm about to go buy a black bias cut dress. You already know I need that in my closet. That's crazy. Because I'm such a fan of like having new things, but you could totally have a new look with just your accessories, which is like something we know, but like you need the ideas to really see it come to life.
Right.
Amazing. Okay, let's touch on materials. Like when you are investing in a piece, from shoes to tops to dresses, you look for certain materials.
It's not so much as certain materials as like I look at the tag and I try and see if we're talking like 100% cotton versus a blend of something. I'm not the most educated. I've never been on the manufacturing side of this industry, but just like I think it's, you know, pretty obvious to anyone. Like sometimes I'll even like rub the dress against my face because my face is like the most sensitive skin, and I'm like, if that felt rough or just like icky, I don't know how else to describe it, then like I know the quality probably isn't where I want it to lie. And I'd say that I don't really do that when I'm like in brands that I already trust. I don't question the quality of their fabric, for example, like Maje is a brand that I aspire to shop all the time. So when I'm talking about like essentials and the things that I am investing in, I'm probably going to them for a lot of it. And so I'm not doing like a fabric check on them quite often, but like when I'm in a Zara and I know that 90% of what I'm picking up is something that is either going to rip or going to be see-through or going to feel uncomfortable on my skin, like that's when I really do quality checks. And they can surprise you. There are times where I'm pleasantly surprised, especially with H&M and Zara both having new sustainable lines that I really, really love and respect. Within those lines, I do happen to see a pickup, obviously a little bit in price point, but also in quality.
Love it. Okay, my last question, and I'll open the floor to you for any last words, is what are you investing in this season, and what trend are you going to find a less expensive alternative for so you can take part?
Okay, this is such a good one. All right, so I think both of these lie within evening wear, but I am trying to invest in a gown that I feel like is versatile enough that I can wear it for the rest of my life and multiple times this season. I actually think I'm getting one made so that it really can be like made to my standards, to exactly what I want, to my fit, because I do have a little bit of like a different shape. And I find it hard to find things that fit me the way that I like. And I'm always spending money on tailoring anyway. So just making it off the bat instead of buying, let's say, a $300 dress and then tailoring it for another $200, just investing the $500 up front. So that's really my big investment piece this season. And also, I'm currently wearing a leather jacket, but if there's anything else I'm investing in, this leather jacket is probably like 6 or 7 years old. And it wasn't such a huge investment. It was on like the lower range for real leather. So I will probably get another real leather jacket that'll carry me through my 20s and 30s. And then not investing in, but really like, are these like studded, all glittery diamond bags that I keep seeing people wearing as evening wear. Cult Guy is making a few versions, but there are tons of dupes that I've been seeing out there. Also, like the sparkly shoes are everywhere. I'm not such a sparkles person, but I do think it's a fun trend, and it can be really fun for like a nighttime look, either as a wedding guest or even just out to dinner with friends. So that's probably going to be the trend that I'm tapping into at a more affordable level.
Love that. Love that. I really, when you find those sparkly bag dupes, let me know because I've been eyeing. Also, where can I get a custom dress made? Hit me up. There are so many questions I have. Amazing. Okay, Liza, the floor is yours. Let's hear it.
I just want to bring us back to our checklist. If you have like any takeaway of what you can do on a practical level to be more conscious about the way that you're shopping, I would say that the main things are, number one, investing in your essentials. So the pieces that you know you're going to be wearing all the time with all of your outfits all season long. That's actually, even though those are commonplace and easier to find, that's where we believe you should be putting your investments, and less so in trendy categories that might not, last you till the next season. Then question two is, while you're shopping, whether online or in person, when you're looking at an item and you're being rash and you're putting it in your cart and you're rushing to buy it because there's a discount code and it's on sale, ask yourself first the Marie Kondo method, does this make me happy? And then visualize it in your head. Like, how often can you see yourself wearing this? And thirdly, is this a piece that I'm buying because it's trendy and everyone else is wearing it, or because it's meaningful to me? And if you can answer all three of those correctly, then it's probably a logical purchase. But if not, try and be a little more intentional. Think about it, take a step back, and if you come back to it and you keep thinking about it for a week later, then and it's still there post sale, then it's a good time to go buy. And then lastly, it's just building like a capsule wardrobe of pieces over time that you might have invested a little bit more in, but are long-term pieces that fit you well, that are of a quality that's going to last you a really long time, that fit your modesty standards, obviously, as usual, and will grow with your modesty standards. Meaning, if right now you wear short sleeves, but your goal is to wear long sleeves, don't invest in short sleeves. But really just thinking thoughtfully in that way as well. So that's your three-part checklist for when you're building your closet and you're shopping, or even if you're doing like a giveaway and clean out of your current closet, that's your takeaway. Danielle, we should definitely make a graphic of that so that everyone can like have it in their pocket as they're shopping. Got my wheels turning.
This was a packed episode. I feel like I am walking away with so many tips and tricks, and maybe we should rebrand the title of this podcast to Ask Liza because I feel like I have so many more questions that I want your answers on, and I feel like a lot of people will too once they listen to this. So, if anybody does have questions on anything that Liza said, if you have any questions on investing in pieces, how to start shopping intentionally, what you can get away with not investing in, shoot me an email, danielle@the-reflective.com, and we will make sure to answer your questions in our next episode. We definitely will have to do a part two because we didn't even get to the half of it. I have questions on skirts, I have questions on sunglasses, I have questions on bags, I have questions on dresses, I have questions on tights. I have so many questions. So please join us next week. We will try to continue the conversation. And until then, we wish you an amazing week.